got good news, or I've got really, really, really terrible news for you. You're in charge. You are in charge, responsible, the primary driver, the recipient of your success. You are in charge of becoming and being a self-manager. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? It's pretty heavy, pretty heavy. I remember learning what that meant years and years and years ago, when I got into the management role, the management stage of my career, where I'd spent 7 years developing a clientele. So learning all about sales and marketing and just everything that goes along with being a financial services professional, being a financial advisor, it's a lot. And then all of a sudden, they tapped me on the shoulder and said, "We think that you'd be great at managing." I'm like, "Oh, awesome. Let's give this a shot." Thing about that is I was, 26, 27 years old-ish, and didn't know anything about much of anything necessarily, aside from the skills that I had acquired over the first 7 years of my career. And now I'm going to be recruiting and managing and training and developing other people. So makes sense. So in order to facilitate that transition and to help me to be successful in that role, they send you to like a 4-day training session. That should take care of it, right? Sure. And I met a gentleman named Bob McCarty, a nice Canadian chap, and he was great. He's got a company called the Self Management Group, which he talks about becoming a self manager. So he really hit that one out of the park, the name of his company. So Bob, he worked and works with, I'm not sure if Bob is still with us or not. Rest in peace. If you're not, hope you're doing great. If you are, but I digress. His work is designed to help people in entrepreneurial roles, like developing a financial services clientele, but it's universal, become better self-managers. But I don't think it's not the domain of, it's not one industry's domain that you need to be a self-manager. I think that we all need to be self-managers, regardless of what professional activity we may be engaged in. I think it's imperative if you are desirous of realizing your full potential, of having a great life, of living a life of meaning and living a life of impact, which I'm confident that that's you, you must develop your self-management skills. You must foster and nurture them because, again, you're in charge. You're the person who is making the decisions on what next action to take. The only way that we do that is why we position ourselves for success by being good self-managers. So it doesn't mean you know how to do it. Just like I talk about all the time, just do it's not super helpful. We need to know how to do it, whatever it might be. So need to figure this out regardless of what arena that you are participating in. If you are a homemaker, if you are the CEO, if you are an entrepreneur, if you are an entrepreneur, need to be good self-managers. And that is what we are going to be talking about. And it just, I think sometimes we are hopeful that somebody's going to come and save us. Most of us were parented. Some of us were raised by wolves, or we seem to act that way, but most of us were parented and we were used to somebody stepping in and taking care of things, handling things, putting food on the table, putting a roof over our heads, and providing a little bit of security in our lives. But as grown-ups, you are now potentially, as a parent, looked on or looked at to do that very thing. But even if you're not, you're 25 years old, you are a single guy or gal or whatever. It's incumbent upon you to be a good self-manager and to act as if and as though, because it's true that nobody is coming to save you. No politician, no eccentric billionaire, no spiritual guru. No, da, 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 da. Nobody is coming to save you. If we're going to get out of this problem, whatever this problem might be, and that might be up to your eyeballs and credit card debt. It might be obesity. It might be just you are feeling a sense of loneliness and that you're spinning your wheels. The only way out is through. It's up to you. I'm fond of talking about how I believe that my prime directive, the thing that really animates, motivates me, is realizing my fullest potential. And maybe you're the same way. But you're in charge. And I know that that's a heavy thing, super heavy thing. Like, oh my goodness, me? I'm in charge of this? It's on my shoulders? Yeah, super heavy. But it's true. But you already know that. You already know that. You already know that. Yet here we are, many of us encumbered by what has been. And we need to make sure that we are not encumbered by what has been so that we're able to move on to what it is that we want to be. There's lots of things that keep us feeling like we're stuck or just not getting to where we want to go. And I think that learning how to be a good self-manager is a big part of that. Even though it's kind of an obvious term, it's sort of a weird term, I think it's the most empowering thing in the world. Once you realize that you are capable of controlling your environment, it's a locus of control, that you have an influence over your environment, you move on from feeling like you are just getting hit all day long and you don't have any control. You don't have the hammer, so you're not hitting anybody. You're taking a beating. That's not a good place to be. So being a self-manager means that we're figuring out how to gain a little bit of control, how to get footing, how to get a stable foundation or good solid footing underneath me so I'm able to start moving in the direction that I really want to be. And I think that, again, that's essential in the environment that we're in, which is we're human beings on planet Earth. And to get what we want as human beings on planet Earth, I think that being a self-manager gets us there. And it means taking responsibility for your actions. It means being responsible for your decisions and your time without looking for cues or relying on somebody else to tell you where to be. In the context of being an entrepreneur, if you are somebody who was part of a company and just sort of going with the flow, you're used to being told where to show up, what time to be there, what to do while you're there, and what to do or what time to leave, kind of a thing. And we have a tendency, and we're really good at falling into patterns and habits. So it's easy to fall into these sort of rhythms. But we want to be able to make those kinds of decisions on our own. We want a sense of autonomy. We want that sense of control that I was talking about. So I think that the promise of self-management means that we're going to be more productive, which is not, I'm not an infinity war of just constant improvement. Sometimes I feel like I am, sometimes I'm not, but I am of the mind that I am constantly learning and progressing and moving forward, again, trying to realize my potential. But that doesn't mean that it's some kind of hustle porn where I'm working 24/7, blah, 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 blah. It's just recognizing where I'm at and then giving myself what I need. That's what self-management means. If I need to take the afternoon off and take a nap, that's exactly what I'm going to do. If I feel like I'm getting a cold, I'm going to slow down a little bit. So it's not all gas, no brakes. It is understanding where I'm at, who I am, what I want, all these things, and then getting the support and the resources that I need. So that's really what it's all about, being a good self-manager. Imagine if you were in charge of caring for somebody else and you really cared about that person. What would the resources give them? What resources would you give them in order to help them get to what they wanted or get to where they wanted to go? If you really cared for them, you'd give them whatever they needed. Obviously within reason, without ruining them. You don't want to just give somebody a ton of money. You understand what I'm saying? We want to extend that same courtesy, that same grace, that same love, charity to ourselves. So how do we do it? How do we do it? Well, I think like everything that I talk about, we have to have a clear idea of what it is that we want. The only way to live how you want is to know how you want to live. So it's goal setting. It's having clearly laid out goals on the direction of the life that you really want. I talk about the six areas: family, community, personal development, career and financial well-being, and then peace of mind. So what is it that you want in each one of those areas? And just understanding how to effectively set goals and work towards attaining them so that they're a little bit of a stretch, but not so far that you're never going to reach them and you're going to get frustrated and it's going to be disengaging. So that's a really important thing. Making sure that you understand what the most important things are. So it's a matter of prioritization. In order to get what you want, you have to know what's most important. And then you need to treat the things that are most important as though they are the most important thing, because not everything can be the most important thing. When I start acting like everything is important, nothing becomes important. And that's not the way that things are. Some things are of greater value than other things. And certainly some things are way more important than other things. So I need to figure out what it is that I want. I need to know what matters. And then I need to do what matters in service of what it is that I want. So plenty of different ways to prioritize. Then I need to be able to stick to it. I need to be able to stick to my plan. So that requires self-discipline. So not a surprise that being a good self-manager demands that I have the self-discipline to be able to do that. Now, this is super tricky, especially as we're getting started. So we may find that we have a hard time holding ourselves accountable because we're not accustomed to holding ourselves accountable. And that is awesome. That is such a wonderful piece of self-awareness, saying, you know what? I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I am having a really hard time. I am coming up short in actually doing it. So being self-disciplined doesn't mean I have to do all of it, but I have to give myself the resources in order to do it. So that kid could be finding some kind of an accountability partner. Say, hey, we're both doing similar things. Can we check in throughout the day just to make sure that we're staying on top of all of it? And the more habits that we can develop, the more routines and habits, I think that the more successful we're going to be. I think that that's really the key. It's understanding what it is that I want. It's understanding what's needed and then creating habits and routines around doing what is needed. I need to be that self-aware person and to be reflective. So to be able to look backwards, goal setting is looking forwards. Reflection is looking backwards and assessing and checking in on what's been working. What's not working? What adjustments do I need to make, if any? I've made some mistakes. Let's find value in these mistakes, because every F up, there's certainly something to be derived or taken from it. It's going to help us to be more successful. I've been talking about accountability, emotional regulation. I think that this is maybe one of the biggest ones. Could be one of the biggest ones, just because so much of what we do, if not all of what we do, is based on how we feel about things. Remember reading about Daniel Kahneman, for sure, rest in peace. He said that he determined or figured out that 90% of the decisions we make around money are based on emotion. So that's most of them. So think about this. Think about the Pareto distribution that says that 80% of causes, 20% of actions lead to 80% of the results. So a small portion of causes or inputs leads to a large portion of effects or outputs. So 20% of what you do results in 80% of what you get. Well, I think that in terms of our thinking, if you think about all the different thoughts you have throughout the day, I bet it's about 1% of our thoughts that actually drive 99% of our behaviors. It's not like all of your thoughts throughout the day are brand new thoughts. In fact, I bet, and I should research this, that a lot of it's rewind. We're just playing the greatest hits, good or bad, going back through stuff that we screwed up on or things that we really want to have another crack at, or it's revisionist history or whatever it might be. I bet that you have the same thoughts, some of the same thoughts every day, like recurring nightmares or maybe positive. But I bet It's a classic Pareto distribution that a very, very, very small percentage of our thinking drives very, very large percentage of our behaviors. So being able to regulate our emotions, to regulate our feelings, particularly when things are not going well, that's going to allow us to make those better decisions. So understanding what my next best decision is, and then being able to recognize, okay, I'm in the weeds, I'm having an emotional time right now, or for whatever reason, I'm just not doing the things that I know that I ought to be doing, particularly if I'm a very scheduled person. I know I'm supposed to be making phone calls right now or be studying for my test right now, but I'm just scrolling through social media instead. Okay. Well, this is I think you could look at that as a matter of emotional regulation because it's a form of avoidance behavior, and you're engaging in avoidance behavior because you don't feel like doing the thing that you're supposed to be doing. So, feelings, again, it's okay. Feelings are wonderful. They're wonderful. Life without feelings would be terrible, be awful, probably not worth living. I always think back to old-timey movies where it starts off and it's all grayscale, it's black and white. And then like from The Wizard of Oz, the moment where the color comes in. I'm sure there's a lot of movies like that. But that would be, you know, life without feelings would be the black and white. Feelings are what make life beautiful and worth living, and the ups and the downs. So I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm not saying that they're to be avoided or to get rid of. What I am saying is I want you to feel them and then make a good decision as a good self-manager on what the next best action to take is. So Pareto always showing up because it's super interesting. And the idea that we only have, obviously we have so many different thoughts throughout the day, but how many of those are really of value to us? And just understanding, just because I'm thinking something and feeling something doesn't mean that I need to be acting on it. And I think a lot of that is going to come back to our, or come down to our core beliefs and our values, because those are the filters through which we take in the information, we feel the feelings, and then we make decisions based on those things. So when we have really clearly defined beliefs, core values, they become mental patterns for how we're processing information. And then we process the information, and then hopefully we execute on the habits and the routines that we have in place. So it's an interesting thing. Think about it like this. If you've ever meditated, have you ever meditated? I think it's a really valuable and important thing. And I think that probably when you ask somebody, when you ask everybody, have you ever thought about meditating? I've got to imagine that 90% of the time, the answer is, oh, I just couldn't do that. I'm too busy in mind. Well, that's a real dumb thing to say because we all have extremely busy minds. And your mind is not any busier than anybody else's. Maybe it is, but probably not. Probably not. And if it were, then that would be the biggest reason why you need to meditate, to be able to control your mind. That's all meditation really is you are sharpening your ability to control the way that your brain is working and to focus your brain on what it is that you want your brain to focus on. So in many ways, it is such a critical key to being a self-manager if you agree with me that emotional regulation is also a critically important skill to be able to have to get things done and to actually execute. So look at that. I really talked myself into the importance of meditation again, which you probably already knew, just like you already knew the importance of goal setting and all these kinds of things that we know we're supposed to be doing, but we just don't necessarily do all the time. Gratitude being another one of those. Anyway, what I wanted to talk about with meditation is the whole idea is that our minds do wander. New thoughts are popping in all the time. But it's like the dog from Up, where the new thought pops up and it's squirrel. And your brain just runs after the new thought. Now, we're thinking about one thing. We're focused on our anchor. And it could be you're thinking about a coffee cup. You're thinking about a coffee cup. And all of a sudden, you think about the phone call you're supposed to be making, or you think about how you have to pick your kids up from school. And that's okay that the thoughts come in, but the idea is that you notice that it's there, but then you come back to the coffee cup, back to the coffee cup, back to the coffee cup. And you train your brain to, instead of bouncing around all the time, no, we're focused on this thing. We focus back on this thing. So your thoughts take you off center, pull them back in. Notice it and then correct. We're wagging the tail. The tail is not wagging the dog. So I think a lot of this, it's making the decision that I'm interested in being a good self-manager. I'm interested in feeling good about the work that I'm doing and all this kind of stuff. We get to decide. And when we're talking about getting what we want, self-management, being a good self-manager is a really important weapon, tool in your toolbox, arrow in your quiver. They'll help you to get to where it is that you want to go. So there it is. If it's to be, it's up to me or you in this case. I want you to get what you want, whatever that is. I think you're worthy of the life that you want. You're even deserving of the life that you want, but you are not entitled to it. Nobody's coming to save you. Nobody's going to give it to you. You need to get out there and earn it. Get out there and take the future that you want. As always, do your part by doing your best.